You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. California's first Surgeon General is Dr. Nadine Burke Harris. Her work as a pediatrician started with her residency, actually, at Stanford. In 2005, she joined California Pacific Medical Center and founded the Center for Youth Wellness. She has been an advisory council member for Hillary Rodham Clinton's Clinton Foundation's Too Small to Fail campaign. She researches and works in the arena of childhood trauma. She's written a book, given a TED Talk about it, and now we have a chance to meet her and talk about it in person. Dr. Burke Harris is with me in the studio. Welcome to Insight.
Good morning.
Welcome to this new job that you have. And what reactions are you hearing across California to the idea that the state now has a Surgeon General?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I have gotten so much wonderful welcome from folks all over the state, and it's exciting. Yeah, I think people are excited.
So California, I understand, is the fifth state with a Surgeon General. There is some precedent for how it's being handled. But when you and the governor talked about this role, how was it mapped out for you? What were the expectations that came with this role?
When we had our conversation, the governor was really focused on a couple of things. Number one, addressing health disparities, right? That's the unacceptable level of health disparities across our state. And the governor was also really supportive of deepening and expanding the work around childhood trauma, early childhood health, and also these issues of how we address the ways that early adversity manifest in affecting health throughout the life course. So it was a super fun conversation. It was really about, you know, what can we do in the state of California to help make our residents healthier?
Can you share a little bit more about yourself? How was it that you knew the mayor? How was it that you were able to get his audience and his attention enough that he thought your work merited leading the state?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I actually first met Governor Newsom when he was mayor of San Francisco, and I was working in one of San Francisco's most underserved neighborhoods, Bayview Hunters Point. And he actually came out for the grand opening of the clinic, when we opened a clinic in a medically underserved area of San Francisco. And subsequently, I was appointed to serve on the mayor's Office of Community Investment, and did that as a citizen of San Francisco. But, you know, to be honest, I think in terms of how I ended up coming into the role of Surgeon General, this is hilarious. This is a case of be careful what you wish for, because as a physician, as a practitioner, and as a health advocate, as Governor Newsom was on the campaign trail, I would, you know, periodically send out emails, you know, to say, hey, this is what other states are doing about adverse childhood experiences. This is how many Californians are affected by adverse childhood experiences and the long-term health issues. This is a public health crisis. Governor, you know, when he was running, what are you going to do about it?
You were emailing him directly.
I was sending to his team.
You didn't know if these were landing in front of him, though.
That's right. And although I did hear back from his policy advisor, and he ran really on a child health, child right. first campaign. And so
he probably put you in the column of go-getters, educated, informed, on the front lines of some of this work.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure about what the process was. And certainly I had also, worked with several members of his team in some of the work that I had been doing. So, for example, in my work with Secretary Hillary Clinton, Anne O'Leary, who is now the governor's chief of staff, knew my work through my work with Secretary Clinton as well.
So I want everybody to hold on one hand that you have this sort of backstory relationship connection with the governor when he was mayor. On the other, let's talk about that childhood trauma work. And I think you need to explain adverse childhood experiences and that study. And this is an arena that in medicine is fairly new. The CDC only really started to identify childhood trauma, I believe, in the 1990s.
That's right. That's right. Well, so childhood trauma is a long known health issue, but much of this work really came to attention after a landmark study that was conducted by Kaiser Permanente and the CDC. It was published in 1998, called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. And what they did in that study was they asked about 17,500 adults about their histories of 10 categories of adverse childhood experiences. And those include physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, physical and emotional neglect, or growing up in a household where there was a parent who was incarcerated or substance dependent or who experienced mental illness, or if there was parental separation or divorce or domestic violence. And what they
so each of those categories is assigned a point.
That's right.
And the score becomes how many points. Obviously, the higher number of points, the higher amount of childhood trauma.
That's right. So it's really a measure of cumulative adversity over childhood. And what they found were two things that were really striking. One was that adverse childhood experiences were incredibly common. So two-thirds of individuals in this study had experienced at least one adverse childhood experience, or ACE, and one in eight folks had experienced four or more. And keep in mind, this wasn't the inner city. This wasn't a low-income population. This was Kaiser San Diego, 70% Caucasian, 70% college educated. Mm. So it really recognized that this was much more common than many people previously anticipated or believed. And the other piece was that the higher the number of ACEs, the greater the risk for, again, not just the things that you would expect, like mental health issues like depression, and also behavioral issues like substance dependence and other issues like that, but dramatically increased risk for heart disease, stroke, cancer, chronic lung disease, liver disease, even Alzheimer's. And it was through this landmark study that really ignited a field of research in understanding how adversity in childhood leads to repeated activation of the stress response, which, when it's activated too frequently, can go from being from protecting us, right, from being life-saving to being overactivated and difficult to turn off. And that can lead to long-term problems with our health. And that's what's now known as the toxic stress response.
You're listening to California's first Surgeon General, Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris. And somewhere there was an intersection for you of that topic with your own study and work as a pediatrician. What was the lights on moment about this arena of childhood trauma with where you wanted to dedicate your life and your work?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was, as I mentioned, working in a very low-income neighborhood of San Francisco, Bayview Hunters Point. This was a neighborhood at the time I opened my practice where violence was the leading cause of early mortality, right? Mm-hmm. Unlike every other neighborhood in San Francisco where cardiovascular disease was the, or HIV/AIDS were the one and two leading causes of early death. And what I was seeing in my patients and what I was hearing by being this community pediatrician was that my patients were being exposed to many of these ACEs, these adverse childhood experiences, but oftentimes it wasn't being recognized as a health issue. It was being recognized as behavioral problems, that kids got bad behavior. And there wasn't an understanding that because of what many of my patients had experienced, their body's stress response was being overactive, and that was looking like ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or that was really the root that was affecting their asthma or leading to increased risk of diabetes. And so getting to the root of the root was absolutely critical in being able to improve my patient's health.
In your TED Talk, which you gave in September of 2014, and it was titled How Childhood Trauma Affects Health Across a Lifetime, you said you actually had to throw your training out the window on this and really go through a paradigm shift and look at this in a whole new way. What do you mean by that?
Well, as when I trained, first of all, we didn't learn anything about the Adverse Childhood Experiences study or about the biological mechanisms of toxic stress. And so when if a teacher was referring a child for ADHD or we were seeing a child who, was having severe asthma or something else, I was taught to prescribe that inhaler medication or to prescribe the ADHD medication or, perhaps refer them to a mental health provider if it seemed like it was necessary. And I never learned in my training, wait a minute, if I actually want to improve the health of my patients, I have to address the underlying problem, the root cause, which is the exposure to adversity. And so that is really what I've spent the last decade of my professional career is not only developing clinical protocols and advancing the science and doing the research, but also raising awareness. Step one in addressing this issue is dealing with the fact that no one really knew about it, right? So public health 101 is to raise awareness, because when we learned, hey, cigarettes can kill, secondhand smoke is also really damaging to health, that allowed us to change our practices, right? And that doesn't mean that quitting smoking is easy, right? Or any of these solutions are just, oh, okay, I've got the information. And so, but when we know better, we can do better. And it was really important to arm families and parents and communities with the information to safeguard their kids' health.
Just to understand this in a very simple way, you're saying that kids who have been through trauma exist on sort of this place of continual fight or flight.
That's right.
And which does a lot of things, kicks up cortisol, changes your biochemistry, and so your body is reacting at a higher level. And then the symptoms of that could end up being ADD, ADHD,
asthma, poor growth, diabetes, et cetera. Yeah.
So we have to go back. And in your TED Talk again, you call this here's the quote, single greatest unaddressed public health threat facing our nation today. That's huge.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. I mean, when we think about the fact that 2/3 of our population, so here in California, 61.7% of Californians have experienced at least one adverse childhood experience. And 16.7% of Californians have experienced four or more adverse childhood experiences. And that 16.7% of Californians are at more than double the risk for heart disease, more than 2.5 times the risk for stroke, triple the risk for chronic lung disease. We now understand that early adversity is a root cause of some of our biggest chronic disease issues and our biggest drivers of healthcare costs. Right. And not just healthcare costs. When you look at the proportion of, for example, the kids in special ed who have experienced adverse childhood experiences, or individuals in our justice system, or individuals who are experiencing mental health and substance dependence issue, for someone with four or more adverse childhood experiences, they're 10 times as likely to be an IV drug user as someone with zero adverse childhood experiences. The ramifications are everywhere in our society, and we have this incredible opportunity now that we understand the drivers and the science behind it to raise awareness, do early detection and early intervention, and we can change those outcomes.
Now let's merge that early conversation we had about your background with the governor and him putting you in this position with all of the arena where your work has been. You are speaking to and representing an entire state, and the issues are, of course, much broader than childhood trauma. However, the governor's budget does propose $45 million for screening for adverse experiences, not only for children, but for adults as well. You must have been driving the funding so that some work could be happening in that arena. Are you at the stage of building an infrastructure for this yet?
So that's exactly where we are. So first of all, the $45 million that's in the governor's proposed budget is absolutely critical. That is going for reimbursement to providers for screening, right? Because we're asking providers to be on the front lines with doing the early detection.
It's
in clinic. So it's for doctors and nurse practitioners, right? To do this a screening. Yes, it's a survey.
Which isn't there now?
Exactly. It's not. It's used in some pioneering practices. For example, the practice that I was running when I mm-hmm. was before I came into this role, and actually there are quite a number of practices around the state that are starting to do it. But this is AB 340, Assembly Bill 340, that was passed into law, now requires that all primary care clinicians screen their patients, children and adults, for adverse childhood experiences for patients who are on public insurance, so receiving Medicaid.
How do you reach people, by the way, who don't have a provider, who aren't insured, people who might also be those most vulnerable or certainly fit in some ways this category?
Well, that's exactly, I think, one of the things that the governor and the administration is really taking on and tackling really strongly. Because this reimbursement for providers is just one part of the issue, right? One part of the solution. The other part of the solution is that the administration is working really hard to strengthen the attacks on the Affordable Care Act, right? And to support health for all, right? That is really what the governor has been pushing towards, is making sure that we can get every Californian with access to health insurance.
So let's broaden this to your role as Surgeon General and what for you are specific goals and priorities, assuming that work is going to be made in this arena of the childhood trauma. What else? Where do you have to focus your attention? And what's the expectation in terms of healthcare in the state?
Yeah, so my big focus, really I'm focused on three things. And I want to say that when we think about surgeons general who have really accomplished a lot, I mean, everyone thinks iconic surgeon general, C. Everett Koop.
Mm-hmm.
And we really think about the bold work that he did on smoking. On HIV/AIDS, and part of the reason for that is, as Surgeon General, I feel like it is a big part of my job is not just to remind folks of the things that we know that they need to do to stay healthy, but also to help folks understand what is the public health crisis that they didn't know existed. Right. And that is real, and bring that to the surface and align our resources into really being able to address it on a public health level. And really, when you look at it through that lens, I'm very much focused on tackling a couple of issues. I don't have any intention to boil the ocean, but I'm really going to be focused on child health and well-being, particularly focused on adverse childhood experiences, developmental screening, and a lot of the early foundations for health. Also, the science of toxic stress. You heard me say that when we see, double the risk for heart disease, 2.5 times the risk for stroke. But the science behind that, understanding how any physician or clinician in California should perhaps be treating their patients differently if they have an ACE score of 8 versus if they have an ACE score of 0. Mm-hmm. That science has a tremendous way to go. And that's not just a child health issue, most of the manifestations that we see in terms of chronic disease really show up in adulthood. So really advancing that science. And my other really key focus is going to be on health equity. We are the fifth largest economy in the world, and yet we still have unacceptable levels of inequities in health outcomes. When we look at, for example, maternal mortality, we see that African American mothers are dying at a rate that is greater than four times that of Caucasian mothers in the state of California today. That's unacceptable. So really pushing on these issues of child well-being, toxic stress, and health inequities are really the areas that will be my focus.
You have been in the midst of a listening tour going across the state. So is the picture of the health and healthcare reality of Californians different in any way from the smaller world that you were in, even though San Francisco itself isn't a small world, but Bayview, Hunters Point, and beyond, did that mirror the rest of the state, or have there been surprises?
To be honest, I would say the things that I hear over and over again as I'm going around on the listening tour are surprisingly similar. They are families and communities and organizations and providers really struggling, who feel like they're in the trenches, oftentimes, especially when it comes to the issue of childhood adversity and addressing the long-term outcomes of that. They often feel like, this is what I'm doing, but I feel overwhelmed. And I'm a doctor, and I may be screening for adverse childhood experiences in my practice, but I'm not with these kids all day, and it feels like what they need is more than what I can provide. And then educators saying, hey, you know what? We see these kids in our classrooms, and we're doing our best to provide trauma-sensitive and trauma-informed educational practices, but we don't feel like we're not doctors. We don't have the resources to give them everything that they need. And you know, so on and so forth, right? And we see, and what I'm hearing is that we don't all need to do everything, but what I see is that these connections and understanding how we can coordinate across sectors to be able to drive towards reduction of poor outcomes, that's the piece that really, I think, needs attention, is this coordination.
What's your vision for where this topic goes? Could you foresee a day when prenatal care involves education about these ACE categories in childhood trauma?
Absolutely. In fact, that's already happening in Richmond, California. Kaiser Richmond already did a pilot on screening for ACEs in the prenatal, as part of regular prenatal care. I think that the issue of early adversity and how it affects health, right, and really from a scientific and a biological standpoint, for me, very much, it's a little bit like germ theory. When we realize that infections are actually caused by microbes and not by foul airs, it completely changed the way that we responded. And some of those changes were hand washing, right? Some of those changes were sanitizing our water or pasteurizing milk. And other of those changes were sophisticated, you know, third and fourth generation antibiotics. Where we are now in understanding how early adversity affects health and development across the lifetime, we can begin with a hand washing stage. We can start with simply screening, early identification, and early intervention. And then we can get much more sophisticated as time goes on. But for now, right, there's no wrong place to start.
I think you're saying that someday there's going to be a tipping point.
Absolutely. And I hope that that day is coming sooner than many of us would anticipate. In my mind, it's as clear as day that we are coming towards that tipping point, and California is leading the way.
Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, she is California's new Surgeon General. Very quick final question. A year from now, when you'll have had a year as Surgeon General, what do you hope you might have either accomplished or understood better than you do right now?
Well, I'm hoping to understand some of the resources. This is my first time working in government, so I'm still navigating, understand how does everything work and what are the resources that we can deploy towards these outcomes. And I hope to have, by the end of a year, maybe a little longer, maybe it's a year and a half, a Surgeon General's report on adverse childhood experiences and toxic stress in the state of California.
Thank you so much for your time, for being here in our studio. I know this will be an ongoing conversation, and I look forward to you joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris, and we'll post a link to her TED Talk and more information about her work. That's at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. I'm on Twitter at CapRadioRuyak. We're back tomorrow with another live show. Thanks for joining us.